Well, good morning. Good morning. Thanks, Doug. Thank you for that. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we have been warmly welcomed already by the wonderful sounds of the Metropolitan Silver Band. What just amazing to have this group of musicians with us this morning. Welcome to all of you, and thank you for joining us in leadership this morning. It's absolutely delightful to have the robustness of everything that you bring this morning. Thank you for being here. So my name is Kristen Phillipson, for those who haven't met me. I'm the minister for worship and spiritual care at Rosedale United Church, and with me always in leadership is our music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson. And as you've seen this morning, yes, we're welcoming Metropolitan Silver Band. We have our choir amongst you, who you will be seeing during the service, and special today, one of our minister, someone's got to help me with the Latin, if it's minister emeritus or emerita, Reverend Doug Norris is with us again, and welcome, Doug. It's wonderful to have you here. We here at Rosedale United are a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing right here in our neighborhood and also in our city. And we gather each week to learn, to grow, and to serve. And so some announcements around how we are supporting flourishing most immediately in this upcoming months. The next all ages service project, where we'll be making sandwiches after church for the Out of the Cold program at St. Luke's United, is coming up on May 18th. And yes, it is the long weekend, so I am hoping that whoever is here will simply roll up their sleeves, pitch in, and help. We make 200 sandwiches for that program, and it always goes quite quickly. And the amazing thing about the Out of the Cold at St. Luke's is that they don't stop if it's a holiday. They keep going. They are 52 weeks a year and actually twice a week. So we're going to help them out May 18th. Hope whoever's here can join us. We have our final drop-in mini retreat on Wednesday, May 28th. That is Tending to Soul, so the last of the spring retreat sessions. This is a gift to give yourself if you would like to take 2 hours, a small moment for rest, renewal, and courage. The information's in your bulletin, and I invite you to sign up. These retreats are secular, and so they're very appropriate to invite a friend or a neighbor to attend. Also wanted to share, as we bring news from among the life and work of this congregation, Jim Harbell, who was a long-time member here at Rosedale United and went on in a second career after law to pursue ministry, begins his first Sunday at St. Luke's today. So we now have a further deepened connection to that congregation through Jim, and we wish him well in his new ministry there. I'm going to call on Sarah to bring us some announcements.
Good morning. A couple of announcements. The first is that we are participating in Doors Open this month. Still looking for a few volunteers. It's very easy. We just need friendly faces to be around at the doors, maybe watch the coffee. And if you're interested, please let me know. So this is for Saturday, May 24th, 9 to 5, and Sunday, May 25th, 12 to 5. So we're still looking for a few people. Please let me know. My email is in the bulletin and was in the kit. Secondly, we need to make sure we're ready for something that's going to happen in the service. Okay, repeat after me. Sia humba.
Sia humba.
Sia humba kuka nyen kwen kos.
Sia humba kuka nyen kwen kos.
Kuka nyen.
Kuka nyen.
Kwen kos.
Kwen kos.
Kuka nyen kwen kos.
Kuka nyen kwen kos.
Sia humba kuka nyen kwen kos.
Sia hamba kukan yen 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 kwen kos. This one's a bit kooky. Sia hamba.
Sia hamba.
Hamba oo.
Hamba oo.
Sia hamba kooken yen kwenko.
Sia hamba kooken yen kwenko.
All together. Sia hamba. Hamba oo. Sia hamba kooken yen kwenko. You're ready. Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, this is just band. If you've been to the band things before to do The Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy, it's going to be kind of, just get ready to dance. It's going to be fun. Okay.
See, now we're all excited about when, you know, when is this going to drop in the service, right? It's be ready. Friends, let's stand and call ourselves to worship on this wonderful, joyful Sunday morning. Will you join with me? People of God, we gather together on this Sabbath day of rest. We gather together to express gratitude for God's abundance. We celebrate Creator God's awesome universe. We gather together for spiritual refreshment. Let us worship our amazing God within us, the connectedness of all creation through our Creator God. And we sing together, Morning Has Broken. The peace of Christ be with you all. We turn to those around us and greet each other with the peace of Christ this morning, saying, peace be with you.
Peace be with you, friends. Peace be with you.
and I light our Christ candle. Where two or three have gathered, the risen Christ says, I am there. And so we know that the Spirit of the living Christ is with us and among us and moving here this morning. And we take just a moment now to invite silence to be here with us. Silence is a gift always in a noisy world, a chance for us to hear ourselves and to hear the Spirit within. And so this invitation, this moment to take a breath, to plant our feet, to be here, to be now, and to be silent. Let us pray. Spirit of life and love, you call us. You call us to be more than we are now, more than we can be on our own. We pray that we may be open to your leading, open to your love, open to your transforming presence, ready to have new life breathed into us so that we can more fully be your people. Forgive us for the times when we have struggled to follow your commandment to love one another as you love us. We admit that it is not easy for us to love those who display characteristics we don't like, and though we may try, we often fail. And so, loving God, we ask you to use this time to teach us to be generous with our love and to feel your love for those we meet. And we pray all of this in the one who meets us and who teaches us to say, O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we sing our response to this prayer. Opening the theme this morning, there's many themes that our readings are bringing to us, and one of them is about second chances. So I wanted to invite all of you here this morning to think about a time in your life when you were given a second chance. And again, this time of contemplation is just a gift for you. You won't be asked to share with anyone. But I want you to think about a time when you were given a second chance. What did that mean to you? What did you do differently because of it? What were you conscious of as you received a second chance? I invite you into this moment of contemplation as Sarah plays. Thank you.
A reading from Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 6 to 12. In this passage, you will hear the prophet Isaiah speak about the character of genuine religion as the care of the most vulnerable, and how honor arises from compassion. Is not this the fast I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see them naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. And your vindicator shall go before you, the glory of the guard will be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of the evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. This is the witness of the Hebrew scriptures. In these ancient words, may we hear wisdom for living today.
Thank you, Luke. And we stand and sing together in response, Sia Hamba. And friends, reading our second reading is Jeff Evanson. Jeff Evanson. Thanks, Jeff.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. In this passage, you'll hear the story of a resurrection appearance of Jesus. As the disciples have returned to their homes and their work, they see him in their midst. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "Is it the Lord?" When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for though they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the witness of the early church. May these words comfort us, challenge us, and inspire us.
And I'll invite Luke, who is our youth helper this morning and helping me with leading the prayers. This is our time to reflect upon our week as individuals, as a community of faith, and as a part of the greater world. And so as we pray, this is not simply my prayer or your prayer, it is our prayers of the community. It belongs to us as community, and we pray this morning on behalf of the world. Let us pray. Eternal Spirit, breath of our breath, Spirit of our spirit, blanketing the earth with fog, gently refreshing the growth, nourishing the soil with rains, reaching to the roots of existence, brightly shining sun, warming the earth and all that is. Your spirit's movement was and is and always will be pulsing through creation, nourishing and nurturing, birthing and enlivening, prodding and supporting.
We give thanks for the blessings of each day, time to spend with family and friends, a variety of foods to nourish our bodies, fresh air to breathe, clean water in abundance, homes that are warm and safe, and the sounds of peace surrounding us. As we dwell with these blessings, keep us ever mindful that not all people know these blessings. Stir in us the desire to be voices of justice, peace, and reconciliation with our community, our country, and beyond our borders.
We pray for justice, peace, and reconciliation. We yearn for justice, peace, and reconciliation. And we work for justice, peace, and reconciliation. As we serve, being the hands and feet of Christ in the world, make us aware of your presence with us and within us, hastening the work that needs to be done. Amen. And friends, this is your time now to respond and to offer whatever it is your soul needs to offer, however it is your spirit needs to use this time. I'll invite you to join with me in the response that's printed in our bulletin. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. So we invite you in this moment into a sacred gesture. And so that may be lighting a candle at any of the stations that you see around you. This candle might be lit in honor of a prayer that you're holding in your heart, an intention that you want to set, a person or place that you're thinking of this week. You may also feel moved to make an offering to the life and work of this community. And if you would like to do so, our offering box is at the back, and you're equally invited just to be in the moment, to sit and enjoy the music that Sarah plays. This moment is yours.
Thank you, singers, for that gift. Well, it's good to be here with you again. It's always good to be here with you. Thank you for the invitation and the welcome home. I don't know if I'm an emerita or an emeritus. I want to go with Minister Magniloquacia Pro Tem. How's that? Test your pig. Very wordy but temporary, I think, is what that means. The sermon title for today is Mapping Jesus. Mapping Jesus. And as you might know, I usually preach from out front here where I can move around a bit more with a music stand in front of me, but I didn't want to have my backs to the band. I didn't want to have my back turned to so many people with heavy brass things in their hands, actually. But I think I'm safe over here. So several weeks ago on Easter Sunday, Kristen, in her sermon, started out by wisely observing Easter, the season we're in. Easter is many things, but first of all, primarily, it is a story. Whatever else it became, it starts as a story anchored in a specific experience. On that day, the specific experience of Joanna and Mary and Mary and others. So I'm going to start with a story, and then, of course, through the readings, we have a couple of other stories that might form us. But 25 years ago, when I had just begun here, a week or two into my work here, I spoke with Karen Bryant in the office, and I confessed, I said, I get lost every time I go out of this building. The streets here go off in funny angles, they turn in circles, they're called different things in different places. She said, oh, no problem. I have a special map that we give to all the new clergy so that you won't get lost here. She opened a cupboard door, and there was this big stack of maps, and I thought, how many clergy have you lost? Is there a group of moldering old ministers in some cul-de-sac in Rosedale? And several years later, on a foggy night, I came across a TTC bus stopped on Whitney, where a TTC bus should never be. And the driver out peering up at a street sign, and I got on the bus with him and guided him around through this quirky neighborhood. So having found my way successfully here today, my pondering this week has two questions, the first of which is, where are we? Where are we? So let's lay out a few markers. And I know that you've got your own markers that you've carried in here with you today, but where you are positioned today. But here are a few things I see. Pope Francis died, of course, and the conclave will begin this week to select a new pope. Now, when Pope Francis was first elected, it was my comment that he has ruined our business model here, because we counted on very conservative popes to send recovering Catholics to the United Church, which worked for a while. But here was a very progressive pope, and in his funeral this week, for a time, the attention of the world was turned away from what we might call the excesses of some versions of Christianity around opulence and dogma, and simply towards his assertion that it was the poor whom God loves, and that it would be the poor of Rome who would attend his funeral. So for a time, the attention of the world saw that version of the faith of Francis. That's part of where we are this week. In Vancouver, the Filipino community is careening in grief. That's going on as well. On the other hand, trees are flowering here. And Bob and Sally, I don't know whose trees you plundered on your way here, but this is beautiful. And thank you for this reminder that after the cold winter, the life is returning. Family, some of you are planning weddings and barbecues. Hopeful things are on the horizon. This is some of where we are this day. Good people in our country of all stripes have just been elected, promising to serve us. This is part of where we are today. So here's, in answer to the question, where are we at this moment? I'm going to borrow the words of Carolyn McDade, who said, I see trouble and I see beauty. I see trouble, I see beauty, and that far wandering star still calls us on. I think that's safe to say that's where we are on the map. Now here's the second question, second page of the map. It's the Easter question. Where exactly is Jesus? Where is Jesus? He started out somewhere, very specific, and now apparently he is everywhere. Now he is everywhere. He had a life in a very specific place. He had parents and siblings, a job. He was caught up in the very specific national questions of his day, Rome and the temple and sick people and poor people. He had a very specific life in a specific place. He was somewhere at that point. Then he died and he became a sort of mystical universal presence, a cosmic savior. Once he was just somewhere, and now he could be everywhere. Some of the best humor I hear or I see about God and religion comes in the cartoons of the New Yorker. I'm going to digress here for a moment and try and do a New Yorker cartoon. Now, I have to say, you got to have a sense of humor about our religion, I think. Partly because that's fully human, but also it signals a kind of humility. If I can have a sense of humor about my faith, about our religion, it signals that I have a humility about it, that I speak of things that appear to be fixed and certain, but I'm aware that they are grand, eternal questions that I may not have solved. So there's a bit of a preamble. So in this cartoon, it's clearly two figures, one intended to be God the Father. Sorry, I'm going to turn my mic on so I can roam around a bit. Am I live there? God the Father, who has a suitcase with him, and another figure clearly intended to be Jesus the Son, and they're standing on a cloud because that's where God and Jesus stand in the New Yorker world anyway. And God the Father is saying to Jesus the Son, I got a bad feeling. Are you sure it's okay for me to go away? The last time I left you alone, you went down there and put your face on a waffle in the House of Pancakes in Albuquerque. Badoom boom. Come on, where's my badoom boom on the drums there? Okay, that works. Once he was somewhere, and now he could be everywhere. This is echoed in the language of the faith, in our architecture. The image of Jesus on this window here is called the Orbis Terrarum. Among other things, but it's Jesus over all of the world. Now, we could probably find in that globe that he's standing on the very specific place where Jesus of Nazareth lived, but now he is the Christ over all the world. Through the early part of my career, the 1980s and 1990s, was the heyday of what was called the third quest for the historical Jesus. And some of the key writers in this were John Spong, Marcus Borg, John Dominic Crossan, and one of the key things to come out of that was they said, think of Jesus in this way. You have the pre-Easter Jesus and the post-Easter Christ. The pre-Easter Jesus was a human being who lived in one very specific place and dealt with all the very human realities of living in that place on one map at one point in time. And at Easter, that figure became the cosmic Christ, a kind of airy figure who lives on a cloud now, but can be everywhere. The pre-Easter Jesus, the post-Easter Christ. So we can access this Christ in prayer, in contemplation, in divine union, in music, and in architecture. Sometimes we place Jesus only in heaven, and some versions of Christianity will say, just wait till you die, and then you get to see Jesus. Then you get to see Jesus. There was this little church in Norland on my way back home, and for a couple months, it had a sign out front said, honk if you love Jesus, keep texting while you drive if you want to see him now. So we place Jesus in a future time. The good news is that this mystical Christ is timeless and universal and so constantly available to us wherever we are, whenever we are. The bad news is that the man, the historical human Jesus, is extracted, then condensed out of his very real human story, and he's turned into a set of ideas and dogmas that became all kinds of things over the next 2,000 years. Did you catch this in the passage? I think, was it Jeff? Or I think it was Luke read from Isaiah. And Isaiah, I know you all have Isaiah memorized, but I'll remind you that in the 6th chapter of Isaiah is the vision of Isaiah's call. And it's this almost psychedelic, spiritual vision, very, very otherworldly. I saw smoke, fog machines around a throne and a cherub on each corner, and they had wings and they carried cymbals, and it was like he'd been licking some Mesopotamian toad, and he had this vision, very, very otherworldly, other place. That was his understanding of who God was. But then we come to late Isaiah, and we need to know that Isaiah was probably written by a series of writers over a period of time. But this Isaiah has a different message. He says, you people who've been in exile, who have been off the map for so long and so oppressed by the Babylonians, now you get to go home. And he sends them, in the words that Luke read for us, he sends them to one very specific place. He says, go home, rebuild the walls, repair the breach when Nebuchadnezzar tore your city down. Go back to Syria, go back to Kyiv, go back to Sarajevo and rebuild. And you will be called, because you're doing this, you will be called a watered garden. You will be called the restorer of broken places. You will be called a street we can live in. This is the name you will have. He sends them back to one very specific place on one very specific map. This is the image of God that Isaiah carries at that moment. One of the teachings from John Spong, Marcus Borg, and so on was the image that we carry of God, of Jesus, absolutely matters. These things might seem to be airy academic questions, but the image you carry of who Jesus is he a mystical creature on a cloud or a very live human being? That image you carry will shape how you live in his name. If you carry the image of the one who is the restorer of streets to live in, you will become a restorer of streets to live in. So here's the thing. Here's a thing. I should never say the thing. Here's the thing. It would be so much easier if we could just keep Jesus in the sky, a cosmic, hovering presence that never quite lands in us, beside us. Except he won't stay there because his business isn't there. Jeff read from the gospel the story of a post-resurrection appearance, and it's a very cool fishing story. We're fishing out of this side of the boat, we get nothing. Jesus says, fish out of this side, they get more than they can carry. They say, wow, it's Jesus. So it's a great fishing story. It's a magic story. John wanted to tell magic stories as signs of the divine character of Jesus. But I want to focus on where they are on the map. They're back in Galilee. Do you remember this from the Easter stories? The angel appears to those who come to the tomb, And the angel says, why are you looking here? He's not here. And here's the weird thing. He's not here. He has risen. Jesus in the sky. Go to Galilee. That's where you'll find him. Go back to where you live. Go back to where you work. Go back to where you play. Go back to where you make love and weep and dance. That's where you're going to find him. Where is Jesus? Well, I'm going to borrow the words of Malcolm Muggeridge, a British broadcaster from the 1950s. He said, "I have searched far and wide, inside and outside of my own head and heart, and I have found nothing other than this man and his words that bring any answers to our tragic and troubled questions. If his light is gone, there is no light." But we are an Easter people. His light is not gone. We journey toward the light, and we sing this prayer together. Bless now, O God, the journey.
And so, friends, where are we? We are here. And as we've just sung, we are met on the road all around by Christ's living spirit. And so we go out into this beautiful world to bring the spirit as we can and to bring it together. We go with God and with God's blessing and with the blessing of this community, which we sing together now to show by touch and word.